The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky, dramatized by Micheline Wando, with Stuart Wilson as Mitya, Eleanor Braun as Grushenka, and Michael Maloney as Alyosha. Episode 5, An Arrest is Made.
My name is Alyosha Karamazov. I am the youngest of the three brothers Karamazov. My eldest brother, Mitya Karamazov, is a desperate man. It is late at night and he has run as fast as he can to the house of Grushenka Svetlov, the woman with whom he is passionately in love.
Fayenya! Open up there! Fayenya! Hurry up!
Mr. Karamaz, please, you wake the whole street. Come in, come in.
Is Grushenka here?
No, sir.
Where is she?
She went to Macroya about 2 hours ago.
Whereabouts in Macroya?
The restaurant you took her to, what? You remember? What,
did she go alone?
Well, she went on her own.
But she went to meet someone? Who? Tell me!
Please, you won't harm her, will you, sir?
Of course I won't harm her. I won't harm you if you don't tell me.
Please, Mr. Karamaz. You know the officer who jilted her a few years ago, before she came to live here. He wrote to her. Asked her to meet him.
He married someone else.
His wife died, and so...
What's the matter with you?
Sarah, you're covered in blood.
What?
Are you hurt?
No, no. Did Grushenka leave any message for me?
No, she didn't. Have you been in an accident?
It isn't my blood.
My God.
Thank you, Fayenya. I am not angry with you. Thank you for telling me. She did love me. I'm sure of it. Goodbye.
Mr. Karamazov, your hands!
Mitya had enough presence of mind to go round to his friend Pyotr Pekotin. The day before, Mitya had been so desperate for money that he'd borrowed 10 rubles from Pyotr and given him his dueling pistols as security.
Hey there, Mitya. I was just going out for a quick game of billiards. You want to join?
Good heavens, where on earth have you been?
I've come to redeem my pistols. I've got the money.
Your face and hand, you're covered in blood.
Look, got the money. Huh? How much do you think I've got?
Well, that's quite a bundle. Well, it looks like a couple of thousand at least.
Are you hurt?
I'm not hurt, I'm happy.
Come and look at yourself in the mirror.
What are you making all the fuss about?
There. Do you see now?
Good heavens, I can't go around looking like this.
Have you got a handkerchief?
Here, in my pocket.
It's covered in blood as well. I'll get you some water. You better wash properly.
Where shall I put all this money?
Anywhere. Put it on the table. I won't be a minute. Where on earth did you get all that cash?
I'm going to spend it at Plotnikov's. 3 dozen bottles of champagne, cheese, smoked whitefish, ham, caviar, pears, a watermelon, chocolate, mint drops, and some brandy.
What's it all in, Adol? Here, let me help you take your coat off. You've got blood on your sleeve.
That's where it soaked through from the handkerchief.
You need a brush to get all that blood out from under your nails.
It's a bit of a mess, isn't it?
You can borrow one of my shirts.
No, don't bother. It doesn't show if I fold my cuff back.
What's been going on? You haven't killed anyone.
I just ran into someone. An old man.
Well, come on, tell me.
Well, we had a fight and made it up. We parted the best of friends. He's forgiven me. Well, I'm sure he's forgiven me. If he'd been able to talk, he would have forgiven me. Oh, to hell with him. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I see. You picked a fight with some poor bastard, and now you're planning to celebrate with champagne?
Got it in a nutshell. Now then, where are my pistols?
In that box. There. Now, that's as clean as I can manage. The coat is still a bit stained.
Thanks. Ah, what did I do with the money?
On the table. How much is that?
About 3,000, I think.
Have you inherited a gold mine or something? Don't screw the notes up like that. I can't bear seeing money mistreated.
A gold mine. Oh, that is good. I know a woman who will give a man 3,000 rubles if he'll rush off to the gold mines. She absolutely adores gold mines. Do you know Mrs. Kotlikoff?
Ah, did she give you the money?
As soon as the sun, the ever-young Phoebus, rises to glorify God tomorrow, you go and ask Mrs. Kotlikoff whether she gave me 3,000 rubles.
She gave you the money to go to Siberia, to the gold mines?
I'm not going to Siberia, I'm going to Macroya.
Macroya? At this time of night.
From riches to rags.
You're crazy.
Oh, do you think I'm drunk?
God knows.
I'm not drunk. Not on alcohol.
What are you doing now?
Powder. Like so. And then the charge. Ram it in. And now, the bullet. Look at this bullet, Piotr.
I'm looking.
Imagine that you're going to blow your brains out with this bullet.
Not likely.
If I were going to shoot myself, I should want to look very carefully at the bullet in question. Ignore everything I'm saying. It's all rubbish, total rubbish. Have you got a piece of paper?
Yeah, on that desk behind
and
you.
And a pen.
Next to it.
Just a couple of lines. There we are.
Are you planning to kill yourself, Mitya?
That's me. I love the sun, the sky, the warmth of the day.
You're beginning to worry me.
Very wise. Worry away, Piotr, my old friend. Listen, why don't you come to Macroya with me?
What on earth for?
Well, they come down to Plotnikov's. We can have a drink while he gets all the stuff ready. Come on!
Plotnikov owned the biggest grocery shop in town. You could buy anything you wanted there. It was as good as any shop in Petersburg.
We'll open a bottle of champagne while we're waiting, Plotnikov.
Very good, sir. Would you like some oysters with the champagne?
Piotr?
No, thanks.
Just the champagne.
Right. Andrei, the champagne.
Right you are, Mr. Plotnikov.
Do you want to see what I wrote on that bit of paper, Piotr?
Why not?
There you are.
I'm punishing myself for my entire life. What kind of rubbish is this?
Champagne, gentlemen.
Thank you. Put it on the bill. Now, don't forget the toffee. The gypsy girls love toffee.
Right you are, sir. Toffee, Andrei.
Very well, Mr. Plotnikov.
Until tonight, my life has been a mess. Now I have a chance to make amends. Cheers.
Cheers. You're mad. What's the point of throwing all this money down the drain?
Don't be angry with me, Piotr. In the end, reparation will be made. Somehow all the credits and debits will balance out.
Reparation? With a pair of loaded pistols?
I love life. It sounds like a cliche, doesn't it? But that's the only way I know how to put it. My trouble is that I love life too much. I shall drink to life. To a good life. I bless the whole of creation. I bless everyone, and most of all, I bless the most beautiful woman in the world.
You're going to meet a woman.
To Phoebus, the golden-rayed god of morning.
To the sun.
The sun. Piotr, have you ever stolen anything?
Why?
I don't mean government money. Everyone does that when they can. Something that wasn't rightfully yours.
Oh, I stole some money from my mother once. Took it off the kitchen table. I was 9.
What happened?
Well, nothing. I kept it for 3 days, and then I was so ashamed that I owned up.
And then?
Well, I got a good hiding.
The cart's all loaded up now, sir. Andrei will drive you.
Good old Plotnikov. Put that box under the seat and be careful with it. There's valuable pistols in there.
When will you be back?
Oh, tomorrow sometime. Goodbye, Piotr.
Goodbye, Mitya. Look, be careful.
Oh, I will. I will. Drive on, Andrei!
He spent a lot of money.
Oh, yes, sir.
He's got at least 3,000 rubles.
Where did he get it from?
Mrs. Kotlikoff, he says.
He's probably stolen it off his father. If you don't mind my saying so, sir.
You think so?
Well, Mitya said he'd murder his father. Everyone heard him.
Piotr remembered the blood on Mitya's face and hands. He left hurriedly, and despite the lateness of the hour, decided to talk to Fayanya, Krushenka's maid. Macroya was 10 miles away. The night air was fresh and cool. The horses galloped like the wind. Mitya was elated by the ride and by the prospect of seeing Grushenka.
I'll just look at her from a distance. See her with her lover. Just one glimpse of her. Andrei, what if they've all gone to bed?
No fear of that, sir. Trebon stays open till all hours.
Drive faster, then.
There's no hurry, sir. Don't forget, place is a coach station. People change horses there. It's always full. Anyway, it's only 11 o'clock.
I hope you're right, Andre.
May I ask you something, sir?
Certainly.
Them pistols, you're not going to hurt anyone, are you?
Andre, you're a driver, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
You must know that there are times when a driver is on the road and he has to give way. Now, what sort of a driver is it who never makes way for anyone, just drives on regardless?
A dangerous driver!
Exactly. That's what life is like. You must never ruin someone else's life. And if you do, you must punish yourself.
I can understand that, sir. There's one or two drivers I could mention who don't give a damn for anyone else on the road.
You're a sensitive man, Andre. Tell me, you think I'll go to hell?
That's quite a question, sir.
Go on, answer it. Be honest.
I can't really say, can I? You see, sir, the way I understand it, when the Son of God was crucified and died, he went straight down to hell, freed all the sinners who was being tortured there. And there was a great moan went up from hell, from the devils who thought there'd be no more sinners coming down to hell, and no work for them to do. And then God says to them, "Do not complain, all you in hell, for all the great men, the rulers, the chief judges, the rich, shall come to you, and you shall be full up as you've been through the ages until I come again." Those were his very words, as I live and breathe.
That's wonderful, Andre.
So you see, sir, hell's meant for rich people.
Will you forgive me, Andre?
I got nothing to forgive you for, sir.
Will you forgive me here on this dark and lonely road?
I don't understand you, sir.
Sometimes I don't understand myself.
Oh, Lord, I am vile, but I love thee. Thou sendest me to hell, I shall still love thee.
Sir, look. You can just see the lights of McCroy ahead.
Hurry, Andre.
All the lights are blazing. It's like a carnival. Just listen to that.
Pyotr Pakhotin had reached Grushenka's house. It was very dark.
Open up there! Open the door at once!
Who the hell is it now?
It's me, Pakhotin. I must talk to you.
Come back tomorrow.
I must talk to you now. It's about your mistress and Mitya Karamazov.
Why can't people let me get a decent night's sleep?
I'm a friend of Mr. Karamazov's. Have you seen him this evening?
He's been here twice. The first time he came to talk to Miss Grushenka, but she wasn't here. So he rushed off to look for her. Oh, and you see that mortar on the table? Well, he grabbed the pestle as he rushed out.
And the second time?
That was awful. He was covered in blood. Blood was just dripping from his hands. You should have seen him.
But when he grabbed the pestle, did he say he was going to see his father?
No. Oh, I was so scared. I told him where Miss Grushenka had gone.
He's gone to McCroy.
We ought to do something.
Yes, but what?
I don't know. It's freezing out here. Come into the kitchen and I'll make some tea. We can think about it a bit more in the warm.
Hey, hey, come on out wherever you are.
What a racket. Oh, it's you, Mr. Karamazov.
Trifon, you old devil, how are you?
Trifon was a widower with four grown-up daughters, a shrewd and unscrupulous businessman to whom most of the local peasants were in debt.
I brought you a car full of goodies, Trifon.
Well, there.
Wine, pies, toffees, and 4 dozen bottles of champagne.
Even better than the last lot you brought.
Absolutely. Now take a bottle for yourself.
Oh, most kindly.
And
you,
some
sir.
Toffees for your daughters.
Well, if you insist.
Of course I do. Andre, unload.
Very well, sir.
I'll take that box from under the seat.
There you are, sir.
Thanks.
Shall I carry that for you?
No, it's all right. Trifon, tell me, is she here?
Miss Svetlov?
Yes.
She's here.
Alone?
There's a couple of gentlemen with her.
One of them's a civil servant, Polish, as far as I can tell from his accent. The other one hasn't said a word.
Are they spending lots of money?
No, very small fry, I'd say.
And Miss Svetlov, is she laughing, having a good time?
Well, it's hard to say. My guess is that she's a little uninterested, shall we say.
What have they been doing?
The gentlemen were playing cards. The lady arrived. They've had tea and they've just ordered liqueurs.
Right. I'll take the liqueurs and give them a nice surprise. I want the band I had the last time.
Well...
But I've got money. Don't worry. Just like the last time.
That's all right, then. I'll see to it right away.
Now, show me where she's sitting, will you?
Trifon took a lighted candle and led Meteor into a dark bar. He could see Grushenka sitting in an armchair. Opposite her on a sofa sat two strangers. One of them a fat, broad-faced man smoking a pipe. Meteor put down the box containing his pistols. Trifon brought a tray of liqueurs and gave it to Meteor.
Gentlemen, madame, your liqueurs.
Meteor! How did you know I was here?
I hope you'll find these to your taste. There seems to be an extra glass on the tray. You don't mind if I join you?
This is a private party, sir.
It's all right, gentlemen. This is a friend of mine.
It's all right, Grushenka. I'm not going to make a scene.
This is Mr. Dmitri Karamazov.
Meteor, please. Delighted to meet you, gentlemen. Let me shake you by the hand.
They say he has the firmest handshake in the whole of Russia.
Now then, isn't anyone eating? Trifon!
Yes, sir.
Bring in the pies, ham, caviar. Grushenka.
Lovely.
And some champagne.
Who's paying for all this, Meteor?
I am, my dear.
Where did you get the money from?
Don't worry your beautiful head. Trifon! You hurry those musicians up!
Oh, Meteor.
As soon as I can, sir.
Thank goodness you've come, Mitya. I've been so bored.
Pyotr was eager to go round to my father's house to see whether he was all right. But Fyanya was sure that he would be so furious at being woken up in the middle of the night that he might do something dreadful. So Pyotr decided instead to go and see Mrs. Koklikov.
Who is that?
It's me, Mrs. Koklikov. Pyotr Perkotin. I'm sorry to disturb you at this time of night. May I come in?
I wasn't sleepy. It isn't at all late. Well, in Moscow, the evening is only just beginning.
Mrs. Koklikov was in her dressing gown and slippers, and she'd thrown a black silk shawl around her shoulders.
I want to talk to you about our mutual acquaintance, Mitya Karamazov.
That madman.
I'm sorry.
You are speaking of the man who threatened to murder me in this very room, shouting and rampaging about the place. I had to throw him out. Are you a friend of his?
Well, I am his friend.
If he sent you, you can get out. I'll call the police and have you arrested.
Please, are you saying he was violent?
I shouldn't be surprised if he hasn't murdered someone already the way he was carrying on.
Mrs. Koklikov, I need to clear up a mystery. Yesterday, Mitya was penniless. Today, he had a bundle of 100-ruble notes on him.
How much?
Oh, 2,000 or 3,000 at least.
Really?
I asked him where he got the money from, and he said that he'd got it from you, that you had given it to him in order to go to the gold mines.
Ridiculous.
You mean you didn't give him any money?
Certainly not. He asked me, but I refused.
Why did you refuse?
Because I could see he wouldn't have been at all grateful, and I was quite right. When I refused, he flew into a rage, tried to attack me. Oh, dear, just talking about it makes me feel faint.
Can I get you anything, Mrs. Koklikov?
No. I'm fine. I have second sight. I always knew he would end up badly. The times I have looked at him and thought, if I'm not careful, that man will murder me.
Calm yourself, my dear.
I gave him an icon. I put it round his neck myself. To think how near death I was at that moment. Fear always makes me hungry. Would you like a sandwich?
What? Oh, no, thank you.
Do you think he might really have murdered someone? Hmm?
I don't know. I can't think where he could have got the money from.
His father?
He didn't get on with his father.
Exactly. He hated his father. He murdered his father for the money.
Do you think that's possible?
Of course.
Mrs. Koklikov, would you mind signing a piece of paper to say that you didn't give him any money?
What sort of thing? I never in my life lent to the unhappy Mitya Karamazov, for he must be very unhappy, don't you think? 3,000 rubles or any other sum, would that do?
Yes, that will be fine.
Just write it down then. What are you going to do next?
I think I'd better go to the police.
Yes, well, I suppose you must.
They will decide what to do.
What a noble young man you are. Oh, you'd better not go to the police station. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that the police inspector, Mikhail Markarov, oh, such a nice man. Do you know him? He's having a little party at his place. There you are. I know. I could get dressed. It won't take me a moment and come with you.
Really, that isn't necessary.
It is a little late, I suppose. Promise me you will come and tell me what he decides to do. I shan't be able to sleep until I know. We don't have capital punishment anymore, do we?
Well, if I'm not too late...
Any time. Now, let me just make the sign of the cross over you. You must call round again. You will be careful, won't you, Mr. Kakutin? What did you say, Mitya?
When the music and dancing are over, I shall creep away, disappear, be no more.
You can't leave yet. You've only just got here.
Grushenka, my love.
What's wrong? Oh, why are you crying? Oh,
these are tears of joy. I've never been so happy. Oh.
Come, would your friends like to play cards?
Cards? For money. But of course.
Right then.
He's showing more energy now than he has all evening.
Trifon, a new pack of cards.
Coming up, sir.
And more champagne. Right, what should we play?
Anything you like.
I'll tell you what, we'll play a simple game. Even a child could play. We lay bets on the next card to be turned up. Winner is the one who gets closest, right?
Right. It hurts.
Thanks. Now, do you want to play, Grushenka?
No, thanks.
What about your friend, sir?
Oh, no, he'll just watch. He doesn't like cards.
He doesn't like anything, as far as I can see.
Right, then. I'll deal. Ten rubles on the Jack of Hearts.
Ten of diamonds.
You win. 10 rubles on the Two of Spades.
10 of Hearts.
10 rubles. They continued playing, and every time the pool won.
The 4 of Spades.
Huh? Mitya, you've lost 200 rubles.
Ah, what's 200 rubles?
I'm going to talk to the band. Excuse me, gentlemen.
I'm glad she's gone. I want to make you a proposition.
Oh, what might that be?
You see these 100 ruble notes? Pretty rainbow-colored 100 ruble notes. Would you like some?
You want to play more cards?
I'm asking you if you would like 3,000 rubles.
If I would like myself very much, who wouldn't like 3,000 rubles?
The minute I clapped eyes on you, I knew you were a sensible fellow. Accept my offer of 3,000 rubles. Take your silent friend here, get your coat, and get the hell out of here. If you like, I'll get your coat for you. If you need a carriage, I can arrange for that as well. I'm well known around here. What do you say?
And the money?
Right, I'll give you 500 now and the other 2,500 tomorrow morning in town. First thing, on my honor.
Oh, well, I don't know.
All right, 700 up front, cash. Now, what's the matter? Don't you believe me? Come on, you can't expect me to hand over the whole 3,000 here. If I did that, you could easily go away and come back tomorrow. Anyway, I haven't got all the money on me.
You want to give me 3,000 rubles to leave Grushenka alone?
That's roughly the idea.
You just want me to disappear.
Exactly.
Well, now. That's what I think of your suggestion.
You think you'll get more from her, you pig?
How dare you? Did you hear that, Grushenka, my dear? Did you hear how this ruffian has insulted me?
What's going on?
I am not a mean man, madam. In fact, my friends say I am a generous man, but I have never been so insulted in my life.
What on earth has happened?
This Mr. Karamazov has just offered me 3,000 rubles to go away and have nothing more to do with you.
Did he now? And what did you say?
What did I say? That's what I said.
Is this true, Mitya? Did you offer money for me?
You make it sound low and disgusting, sir. Grushenka is the purest being in the whole world.
Ah! You're a dirty little lover. Aren't you? I knew she had someone hanging around. Bloody little tart!
Take him, leave him. Little tart, am I? I waited for 5 years to see you, and you know why? Not because I'm still in love with you, because I wanted to see you face to face and tell you what a bastard you were to me all those years ago.
How dare you?
You heard I'd made some money, so you came trotting back, hoping to get a sniff at it.
I am an honorable man. I came back here to try and make amends, to ask you to do me the honor of becoming my wife. I can see that I've wasted my time.
Then the sooner you clear off out of here, the better.
I'll go when I'm good and ready.
To think that this is the man I almost killed myself over. I didn't love you. My pride was hurt when you jilted me, that's all. It's funny. I remembered you as a giant, an eagle of a man. And here you are, just a little waddling duck.
Madam!
Are you going? Or do I have to ask the landlord to chuck you out? Trevon?
Yes, Miss Nedlock.
These gentlemen are ready to leave. Here, we finish with your cards.
Thank you. Just a minute. These aren't my cards.
What do you mean?
Give them to me.
No, you don't. These cards are marked.
Where are the cards I gave you?
Oh, here, under the table. The pack hasn't even been opened.
We're going.
You certainly are. You're a cheat as well as a duck.
Come on, gentlemen. This way.
A corpse. We need a corpse.
Sheepan will throw them out after you.
You'll regret this.
You bitch!
And I hold him down while you get your money back, sir.
No, no, you can keep the 200 rubles as compensation for his wasted journey.
I've got to well with it, Blackie.
Come on, shit! Have a good journey! Oh, this is more like old times, Mr. Singer.
Come on, let's dance. Oh.
By now, Pyotr Pekotin had arrived at Mikhail Makarov's house, where the evening was in full swing. Makarov, the police inspector, lived with his married daughters and their families. His house was always full of people.
I'm a soldier at heart, gentlemen, not a civilian. Mr. Pekotin, what a pleasant surprise.
I hope I'm not intruding.
Oh, not at all, not at all. Come and sit down.
I need to talk
to you. Oh, good, good. Come, let me introduce you. Ippolit Kirillovich, the public prosecutor.
How do you do?
Delighted, my dear.
Dr. Varvinsky, not on call tonight, I'm pleased to say.
Evening, Pekotin.
And Nikolai Nelyudov, our examining magistrate.
Mr. Nelyudov.
Well, we're just about to sit down for a game of whist. Coffee and brandy first, I think.
Mr. Makarov, where are you, Mr. Makarov?
Yes?
It's Martha, Mr. Karamazov's servant.
Is there something wrong?
Old Mr. Karamazov. Oh, it's dreadful.
I knew it.
Sit down, my dear.
Thank you. We've gone to bed.
Oh, now take your time.
We'd gone to bed and something woke me up. I don't know what. And I noticed Grigory wasn't in bed.
Is that unusual?
He'd had a terrible back last night. I made it one of my infusions and after that he's usually out like a light. I called him, but he didn't answer.
Oh, perhaps he'd gone to lock up.
No, he locked up before we went to bed. I got up and went outside to look for him. Grigory, where are you? What's that? Grigory? Is that you? Oh, my God. Grigory, where are you?
Here, near the fence.
Oh, hold on. I'm coming as fast as I can. Oh, dear. What? Oh, Grigory, you shouldn't get up in the middle of the night. You're hurt. You're covered in blood.
Murdered, been murdered.
Oh, you're all right, Grigory. You haven't been murdered.
Oh, no.
Look, can you stand up?
Yeah, I think so.
Look, lean on me. That's right. Now, easy, does it? Come on, come on.
Mr. Karamazov.
Oh, don't worry about him.
We must.
Let's
get... Mr. Karamazov.
Let's get you inside.
You see? In his room.
Oh, my God. There he was. Old Mr. Karamazov. Lying on his bedroom floor.
covered in blood.
I was afraid of this.
What did you do, Martha?
I took Grigori inside and washed his head with vinegar and water, and then I came straight here.
Was old Mr. Karamazov dead?
I couldn't tell, sir. I think you'd better come round, Mr. Makarov.
Yes, absolutely. We'll need witnesses, Babinski.
Can you have a look at Grigori as well, Doctor, if you don't mind?
I don't quite know how to put this, but I believe that Mitya Karamazov may have had something to do with this.
That's it.
Did you see him, Martha?
No, but I remember now what it was that woke me up. It was someone, I suppose it must have been Grigori, shouting, "He's killed his father." That's what it was. He's killed his father.
I can't tell you how pleased I was when I saw you coming in with that tray of liqueurs.
Really?
Oh, I was going mad with boredom.
I'm glad you weren't angry.
Of course not. You look so funny. Solemn, tragic. You look calm, quite gentle now.
Would you forgive me, Grushenka?
What on earth for?
For suspecting you.
What do you mean?
I thought I might find you in his arms.
What would you have done?
I would have wished you happiness.
Do you mean that?
Yes, I want you to be happy.
You would have given me up to him?
That's what you really wanted?
I don't understand you, Mitya.
I would have wished you happiness and then gone out and shot myself.
You're ridiculous.
I mean it, every word.
That's wonderful. Come on, Mitya. Let's join them.
You go. I need some air.
Mitya went outside onto the wooden veranda which ran round the inside courtyard. His head was burning. He needed to think.
Quite dead, I'm afraid. Fractured skull.
And the weapon?
I don't know. A blunt instrument of some kind. Something fairly heavy, I should think.
Could it be the same weapon with which the old servant was hit?
Quite likely. The servant was very lucky.
Excuse me, but this could be important.
What is it?
An envelope. Got something written on it.
To my little chicken, a present of 3,000 rubles to my angel Grushenka, if she comes...
Three large seals in red sealing wax, a piece of pink ribbon. The envelope has been ripped open.
To my little chicken, whatever next.
Oh, Inspector Markov, I found the weapon.
Well done. What was it?
A brass pestle, covered in blood.
Excellent.
Mitya was carrying a brass pestle.
I'll make sure he's arrested first thing in the morning.
It may be too late by then.
What do you mean?
He's got a pair of dueling pistols with him, and he's written what could be a suicide note.
Then we'd better arrest him tonight. Where is he?
He's gone to McCroy.
Right. Zavinsky, are you coming?
I'll stay here and write my report. I also want to have a look at the epileptic servant, Smerdyakov. Very interesting case, that. I've never seen such a severe epileptic fit. I don't expect it'll last very long.
Well, I'd better get along. Do you want to come, Pekotin?
I think perhaps I'd better not.
I understand you perfectly, sir.
Mitya, where are you?
Over here.
In the dark. All on your own.
My head aches.
Oh, let me smooth it away. There. Is that better?
It's lovely.
Mitya, were you really going to shoot yourself?
I don't know.
You're such a reckless man. I love reckless men. Oh, look at those two little worry lines between your eyes. There. You'll smooth them away. Mitya?
Yes.
I did love him, you know. For 4 years, I did.
I understand.
I was only 17. He was so kind. He used to sing to me. On the way here, I was nervous, but quite excited. I kept rehearsing different things to say to him, and then, when I saw him, it was like having a bucket of cold water thrown over me. He just wasn't the same man. I'm so ashamed of having wasted all those years.
Haven't wasted them.
And there I was, sitting with those two boring strangers. And then you walked in, and I thought, that's the man I love. You had this horrified look on your face, as if you didn't know what to expect. Oh, can you ever forgive me, Mitya?
Of course I forgive you.
You must have thought I was flirting with you just to pass the time. I suppose in a way I was.
You mustn't regret anything that you did.
I do the most terrible things out of spite. I deserve to be punished for the way I behaved to you. I shall be your slave, Mitya, from now on. I promise.
It doesn't matter what happens from now on.
Now you're being mysterious again. Come inside.
No. I need to breathe fresh air.
Are you feeling ill?
Not exactly ill. I feel so happy just being here with you. I've got a burning feeling here in my chest.
Oh, Mitya. There were times during the past few years when I thought of becoming a nun.
I can't imagine you as a nun.
If I were God, I'd forgive everyone their sins tonight. Perhaps I should dance the night away and then tomorrow go into a convent. Oh, Mitya, let's dance out here.
All right.
I don't ever want to stop dancing with you, Mitya. When you dance like this, the stars go round and round as well. Only they're going in the opposite direction. Oh, where's the floor? I can't see the floor.
It's all right. I've got you. Just a little giddy.
You're so strong, Mitya.
You weigh hardly anything.
Oh, Mitya, not here, please. Not in this awful place.
Not only a kiss.
I know people say you're not to be trusted, but to me, you are the most honorable man in the world. We'll go away from here, just the two of us, as soon as we possibly can, far, far away.
Of course we will, my darling.
Oh.
What is it?
I bit my lip. How silly.
Ah, just a tiny drop of blood. I'll kiss it better. There. Oh, my God.
Mitya, what's wrong?
The blood. All that blood.
It's only a drop. I'm all right, really.
It isn't. Krushenka, there's something you must know.
What?
I am dishonest. I'm a thief.
Don't be silly, Mitya.
It's true. I've stolen from... money from Katerina.
What?
I have stolen money from Katerina.
Well, it doesn't matter. I've got money. You can pay her back tomorrow.
You don't understand!
Please, Mitya, don't shout at me. It doesn't matter. When we spend my money, we'll find a way to get more. We'll become peasants and work on the land. Imagine making things grow with my own hands. I shan't be an idle mistress, but a true wife. We'll go to your young lady, to Miss High and Mighty Katerina, and we'll bow down before her, and we'll ask her to forgive us. And she won't. Well, so what? You must give her the money back and just love me. You don't love her anymore, do you?
No. No, I don't.
If you do, I'll strangle her. I'll scratch her eyes out.
We shall go far away. To Siberia!
Siberia. Oh, all right, if that's what you want. We'll go to Siberia. There's lots of beautiful white snow in Siberia. I shall drive round in a carriage with hundreds and hundreds of bells jingling all over it. Oh, I can hear bells. Oh, you are a magician, a man of the most wonderful powers. We are in Siberia.
White snow and bells.
Put your arms round me. Right. Here we are in our carriage, wrapped in fur rugs. See how the snow is glistening, white and silver, in the deep, deep moonlight. Here I am, snuggled with the man I love, on a journey from somewhere to somewhere. And I'm floating in the sky with my lover beside me.
We shall be together, just the two of us.
My darling.
Oh, my darling.
I wake from my sleep in the carriage. And I turn and look at you. Meet you.
Grishenka.
Mitya, someone is watching us.
Nonsense, my darling. We are alone in the sky.
Look.
What?
There, in the doorway.
What the hell are you doing?
Excuse me, sir. Are you Mr. Dmitri Karamazov, sir?
It's none of your damn business.
I'm afraid it is, sir.
But you've got a damn cheek.
Mitya, perhaps it's important.
Where's Trifon? Get out of my way, you! Trifon, where are you?
Meteor went back into the main bar, which had been full of people drinking and dancing. The room was still full of people, but now they were standing silently, watching a group of men in overcoats.
Trifon! What the hell is going on here?
These gentlemen want to talk to you, sir.
Meteor, what's happened?
There's nothing, my love.
Landlord, is there anywhere we can talk privately?
There's a private room through here, gentlemen.
Thank you. Mr. Karamazov, if you'd be so kind.
You're interrupting a private party, you know. I shall make a formal complaint.
After you, sir. Let's all sit down and make ourselves comfortable.
I don't intend to be in this room long enough to sit down.
Suit yourself, sir. You don't mind if I do.
But I'm sure you'll do exactly as you please.
May I introduce myself?
You don't have to introduce yourself. I know who you are.
Nevertheless, for the record, Mikhail Makarov, police inspector.
Meteor looked at him properly. A tall, elderly man in an overcoat and cap.
Mr. Ippolit Kirillovich, the public prosecutor.
Meteor had heard that Kirillovich was a rather bitter man whose promotion had been passed over year after year.
And this is Mr. Nikolai Nelyudov, the examining magistrate.
Mitya, who are these men?
Grishenka.
Please, madam.
What do they want?
I would like you to stay.
Very well, sir. Let us make ourselves comfortable. Are you Lieutenant Dmitri Karamazov?
Retired.
Are you Lieutenant Dmitri Karamazov retired?
What of it?
I'm afraid it is my duty to tell you that you are charged with the murder of your father, Fyodor Pavlovich Karamazov.
Oh, that's it. The blood. The old man's blood.
What did I tell you, gentlemen?
Mitya, what are you saying?
Look at him. Blind drunk, consorting with a woman of doubtful reputation, his father's blood still fresh on his hands.
Mr. Makarov, please.
He killed his father.
I am not guilty!
Mr. Karamazov, please be careful what you say.
I didn't do it! I didn't kill my father! I wanted to, I meant to, but I didn't kill him!
It's my fault, sir. I teased him and put him through hell. I drove him to it. I'm far more guilty than he is.
What else can I say?
Mr. Makarov, I must ask you to be quiet.
If you put him on trial, then you must try me as well. If you punish him, you must punish me.
Please, gentlemen, don't listen to her. She doesn't know what she's saying.
Madam, I shall have to ask you to leave.
No.
His father's soul cries out for revenge.
Mr. Makarov, would you kindly take this young lady into the other room and calm her down?
I won't go.
Why does she have to go?
We must ask you some questions. And the sooner we get started, the sooner we shall finish.
No.
Come along, my dear.
No, go.
That's right. You just come along with me.
And I'll hold the door for you. There. Clerk, would you please come in? Perhaps we can all behave properly now. Mr. Karamazov, I suggest you sit down on that sofa. The clerk will take notes.
I am ready, sir.
Good. Would you like a glass of water, Mr. Karamazov?
What? Yes.
Ah, there we are.
Meteor was transfixed by one of the rings on Nelyudov's hand, a brilliant, transparent yellow stone.
Why don't you just sentence me and be done with it?
Oh, I'm afraid we can't do that, sir. In any case, didn't you just say that you were not guilty of the murder of your father?
I didn't kill him! But I did kill another old man.
It's a terrible irony to have killed one man and then to be accused of the murder of another. Just a moment. Are you saying that my father has been murdered?
That's right.
What? This man you say you've killed, that wouldn't be your father's servant, Grigori, would it?
Yes, that's right. That's the man.
Well, you needn't worry about him. He's alive in spite of the injury you inflicted on him.
Oh, thank God for that. Oh, Lord, I thank thee for the great miracle thou hast wrought. Please, may I speak to Grushenka? I must tell her that my guilt has been washed away and that I am no longer a murderer in my own eyes.
I'm afraid not, sir.
I suppose she'll hear sooner or later. Oh, this is marvellous news. Grigori, the old man, looked after me when I was a boy. He was more of a father to me than my real father. Grigori took me in and brought me up when everyone abandoned me. Oh, I feel so relieved. I shall always remember you with gratitude, gentlemen, for bringing me this news.
Can we get on with the questions?
We've met, haven't we? Kirillovich, your wife often had very bad toothache. How is she? And Mr. Nelyudov, I remember a long conversation we had about Moscow once. Forgive me, I was a bit drunk before, just a bit out of control. I'm fine now. Has Grigori spoken to you?
Yes, he has.
And of course I shall plead guilty to that if it comes to court. It was a dreadful thing to do, it's dreadful. Is the clerk writing all this down?
Certainly.
Well, write this down, clerk. I am guilty of disorderly conduct, of inflicting grievous bodily harm upon an old man. Have you got that?
Yes, sir.
Good. And this. I am not guilty of murdering my father, Mr. Fyodor Karamazov.
Is it true that you disliked your father?
Yes, everyone knows that.
And you quarreled with him?
Often.
A few minutes ago you said, I think I remember correctly, that you often wanted to kill him.
I have wanted to kill him many times. I'm sorry to have to say so, but it is the truth.
Now, can you tell us why you hated your father so much?
Mr. Nelyudov, the entire town knows why I hated my father.
Nevertheless, I would like you to tell us.
Just after I came back to town, the family, my brothers, Alyosha, Ivan, and I, went with my father to the monastery. Now, the idea was that the elder Sosima might be able to resolve a family row about my inheritance. Well, it didn't work out, and I quarreled with my father and attacked him. I said I was going to come back and finish him off. Now, ask anyone!
That doesn't sound very good, does it, Kirillovich?
No, it doesn't.
I don't blame you for jumping to conclusions. From your point of view, my guilt must seem overwhelming. May I ask you something?
Certainly.
How did he die?
He was lying on the bedroom floor, on his back, with his head beaten in.
How dreadful.
Mr. Karamazov, tell us some more about the feelings you had towards your father.
My feelings are a private matter.
Ah, perhaps so, but I'm afraid we have a job to do, and I think your feelings are relevant.
A job? You don't care! You don't have any right to invade my feelings.
Were you jealous of your father?
Jealous? Ah, oh, what does it matter? He's dead now. Yes, I was jealous.
You were had disagreements over money.
Yes, we had disagreements over money.
There was, I believe, a dispute over a sum of 3,000 rubles, which you claimed he owed you as part of your inheritance.
You have been listening to gossip, but not carefully enough. It wasn't 3,000, it was 6,000. 10,000, perhaps even more. I decided that I would be prepared to settle for 3,000, since that was a sum that I desperately needed.
You knew that he had 3,000 rubles in the house?
I knew that he had an envelope with 3,000 rubles in it, which he kept under his pillow. He was planning to give that money to Grushenka, and that money belonged to me. He had stolen it from me.
You considered this money to be yours?
Absolutely. Write that down. The evidence against me is mounting up, isn't it?
It doesn't look good, sir.
Now, gentlemen, you are talking to a man of honour. I've done some pretty terrible things in my time, and I'm not ashamed to own up to them. I take responsibility for myself, even when everything seems to be against me. I've got a terrible bloody headache. Now, can we stop now?
Your father. I didn't like him. I never liked him. I hated him. He sneered. He boasted. He trampled on everything that was important to other people. He had no faith, no hope. He was horrible. Ugly. Now he's dead. And now he's dead. I'm thinking something different.
Different?
And I'm sorry I hated him.
You feel remorse?
No. No. Not remorse. Don't write down remorse. I used to think of him as ugly. Perhaps that's because I'm not a very good-looking man myself. I had no right to think of him as ugly. You can write that down if you like.
I must see him!
Leave her alone! She hasn't done anything! Let me out of here!
Why, Mr. Karamazov? Not going anywhere, I hope.
What the hell have you been doing to her?
Nothing at all. She's just a little overexcited. She's asked me to give you a message.
What message?
Mr. Meliudov, may I?
Certainly.
I've had a long chat with Miss Svetlov. Very intelligent girl. I've explained that you must have as much opportunity as possible to clear yourself, and she mustn't get in the way. She understands.
What's that bloody message?
She has asked me to come and tell you not to worry about her. It would reassure her if I could go back to her and tell her that you are calm and easy in your mind. She's a good Christian soul. May I tell her? Do we have your assurance that you will keep calm?
Of course you have. Tell her that I am calm, that I am cheerful. And ask her to wait patiently for me, and I shall soon be free to join her.
Good. I'll do that. All right, Meliudov?
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Makarov. I apologize for making a scene. She is the most sacred and precious thing in my life. Her love and devotion to me are just unbelievable. I've done nothing at all to deserve it. I adore her.
Take your time, Mr. Karamazov.
I'm sorry, it's all right. I'm calm now. At your disposal, gentlemen.
We would like to ask about your movements over the past couple of days.
As long as you don't ask me any more questions about my feelings.
We are only interested in establishing the facts, sir. You may tell your story in your own way.
And then I'm happy to cooperate.
Very well. Let us begin with a systematic account of all your movements since early yesterday morning.
Well, I could do that, but I think it would be more helpful if I go back a little further and begin by telling you what I did the day before yesterday.
By all means. When you are ready, Mr. Karamazov.
In the fifth episode of The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky, Mitya was played by Stuart Wilson and Grushenka by Eleanor Braun. Alyosha was Michael Maloney, and Nelyudov, Michael Deacon. Kirillovich, Terry Malloy. Makarov, William Simons. Pyotr Pekhotin, Paul Gregory. Grigori, Edwin Richfield. Mrs. Koklakoff, Gillian Goodman. Trifon, Ray Llewellyn. Andrei, Philip Sully. Vervinsky, Martin Matthews. Fianya, Cynthia Cherry. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor, The Brothers Karamazov was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Philip Martin.
The Brothers Karamazov was translated by David Magashek.